Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Oscar Bevis for IFL TV. Punk kid Jack Hughes joins me. My man, good to see you. How's things?
Good to see you, mate. And everything's good. How are you?
I'm good. Just been watching only a little bit of some pretty tasty sparring between Obi Egbenike and Jesse Brandon. And you were watching on, and you're not going to train today because retirement is here. I guess just kind of your initial feeling towards retiring from the sport of boxing.
So just before I start, I just need to shout out my boy John Doe, who I work on the bins with. He's been following my career for the last couple of months, and he keeps telling me next time I get an interview, shout him out. So there it is, John, that's for you, mate.
But has he been waiting for this for your whole career?
He has for the last couple of months. He's been so invested, he keeps asking me when I'm going to do an interview. So there it is. But sorry, mate, what was the question again?
That was the question. It was, do you have any friends to shout out? just kind of your initial feeling towards retirement, and even like being around the gym today and knowing that professionally you're likely not to step foot in the boxing ring again.
Yeah, no, it's nice to be in the gym. Like, I've always kind of been a gym rat my whole career. Of course, I'm always, no matter what stage I'm in my life, I'm always going to miss boxing and the feel of fighting and all that. It's all I've really known for the past, God knows, since I was like 16. Boxing's been a part of my life for 11 years, amateur and professional. So it's always going to be a part of my life. But it's nice, it's nice to come down here, see everyone. That was like one of the biggest joys for me in boxing, was just to be around, like to be a professional fighter and to be around everyone. So it's a nice feeling to come back. It's also nice. It's a nice feeling to know I'm not going to get punched in the head once I step through the doors as well. So that's nice as well.
Especially when you have to watch a spar where people are going back and forth,
yeah,
kind of watching and being like, oh, glad that's not me. What was your deciding factor about why you thought it was the right time to retire?
So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I called it a day. I mean, going back to the start of my career, I was never really treated that well. I was around a lot of people that probably weren't right for me, and that made me lose a lot of love for boxing at the start, which again, this is like the third time I've retired now, like third time lucky, as they say. But there was always reasons. Like, boxing's a very mentally hard sport to be involved in. You've got to run around selling tickets to everyone. You've got to worry about your weight, and literally weight messes with my head so much mentally, even though I've never struggled to make weight. But it's just such a mind fuck, like looking at the scales all the time. I become literally obsessed with it. If you pick up any object in this room and put it on a scale, I can tell you how much it weighs. Like, that is how obsessed I got with like making weight. And then I had a family, and it was really hard for me to walk out the door every time with my daughter, because she's become so interactive now, and I've missed the whole 9 month period of her growing up. So and that was really the main decision, was I want to spend time with my family now. Like, I'm 32, I've missed a lot. I don't really want to miss much more. And then there's there's the, even in the last stage of my career, I was messed around a lot with certain fights. This, you know, 1 minute this fight was happening, 1 minute it was for this belt, next minute it was for another belt, next minute it was for two belts, then it was for no belts, then the money was this, then the money was that, then it was this opponent, then it was that opponent, then it was this venue, that venue. Then I was got offered a fight in America, then that fell through, and that literally kind of broke my heart, because that was like the American dream. And then I kind of had to just go back down to fighting, not in a disrespectful way, but I had to go back to fighting at York Hall for the area title, which was something I kind of, when I come back, I said it was something I didn't really want to do again. I've already been there, done that, brought the t-shirt. And then add up all them things together, and it was just like, do I really want to do this? And it, like, do I really want to put my family through this much stress? Do I really want to put myself through this much stress for no money, I might add, literally? And in the end, it was just time to call it a day.
Yeah, it sounds like, well, when you've got more than one reason, I guess it kind of makes sense. Should we kind of timeline how things went from the Lewis Roberts defeat? Because I know there was a lot that's gone on since. You mentioned about fights being offered to you, fights being taken, and loads of changes and whatnot. So November, the defeat to Lewis Roberts in Swindon. And yeah, kind of timeline a chaotic 3 or 4 months that have passed since.
So the whole Lewis Roberts story is pretty mad. And I know he put up some super cute post about me not wanting the fight and all that, and it was super cute, but if you're going to put up a post like that, I do expect the whole story to be involved, which it wasn't. So I lost to Lewis on a split decision in his hometown, which I thought I won, and majority of people I've spoken to thought I won. But it is what it is. I'll never call it a robbery. It was a close fight. Could have went either way. Do I agree with the two judges that scored the fight? Not at all, because they had it like extremely wide in a very, very close fight. But it is what it is. So we move on. I didn't really have much intention of fighting again. Obviously, emotions were high at first, and I did want the fight. But after a while, it was just, I need to move back down to super flyweight or flyweight and get my career rolling again. I wanted to fight Martin Hillman, and God knows what that guy is doing with his career. I mean, he's saying that we didn't offer him money. We offered him a 50-50. He only had to sell 25 tickets. You sell 100 tickets, which apparently is meant to be a big ticket seller. He's looking at $3,000-$4,000 from that fight for literally just only having to sell 25 tickets. Like, so he's saying didn't offer him money. It was for the Commonwealth Silver title, which had never been fought for at super flyweight. Okay, the belt isn't registered on Boxrec, but it's a belt that is brand new. You win it, you've got pull with the Commonwealth Commission. Like, you can be like, I fought for this belt, we can move on.
It's
like
the key to the full Commonwealth title, yeah.
Exactly that. So, like, but in his mind, he would rather go out to Grenada, pay $3,000 because you don't get your flights paid for, you don't get your hotel paid for, and you have to pay for your opponent. So us offering him a 25-ticket deal where he could make potentially $3,000-$4,000 wasn't good enough, but to pay $3,000-$4,000 out of your own money just to make that fight happen, to fight for the UBO, like, what is that? And the Tunisian title when he's not even from Tunisia. Apparently, this was the be-all and end-all for his career. Like, but, okay, whatever. We move on. So then we wanted to fight Ben Lilly. And at this point, the Nilsons offered us the Lewis Roberts fight again for the English title, which was amazing. But it was the same purse for the same risk of going to his hometown, getting robbed again. Not robbed, but you know what I mean. So on and so forth. So initially, I turned the fight down straight away. It wasn't something I was really that interested in, especially for the same money. So Lewis himself messaged me on Insta and he said, mate, I don't want to obviously start anything, but could I have your phone number and could we chat on the phone? So I was like, okay, cool, no worries. So me and Lewis had a good chat. He really wanted me to take the fight, like really, really wanted me to take the fight. And I basically just said to him, it doesn't really make much sense for my career. I'm not a bantamweight. I'm potentially a flyweight. So it's two weights heavier. You know, you were massive to me on the night. I gave it a good go. I thought I won. I felt very hard done by the judges. So it is what it is, mate. I said, unfortunately, I'm just going to go elsewhere. He tried to convince me. Didn't work. The next day, I woke up to a text message from him, like pretty much an essay, telling me that why I need to take the fight and that he was going to give me £1,500 of his own purse. Yeah, so essentially, with ticket sales and so on, I could have probably made about £6,000 from the fight, yeah? So obviously, it becomes a no-brainer. I had to kind of take that decision. So spoke to Aaron, we took the fight. So this whole build-up now for the next 3-4 weeks, however long it was, gets crazy, yeah? So we accepted the fight. The very next day, his promoter called my promoter saying, if Jack doesn't accept this fight, we're going to hijack his other option with Ben Lilly, so he's got nowhere to go, yeah? So me and Aaron are looking at each other like, we've already fucking accepted the fight. What are they talking about, yeah? So we just got back to them like, guys, yeah, I don't know if you know, but we have like actually accepted the fight, yeah? So then we move on. Then the next day after that, yeah, they call up my promoter again and say, the fight's off now because Lewis Roberts has been made mandatory for the winner of Chris Bork and Ash Lane for the British and Commonwealth title. So I was like, okay, cool, that makes sense. So I called Lewis myself and said, mate, look, if you've taken the fight, that's cool, man. Like, I completely get it, I understand. I just obviously need to know where we lie so I can move on with my career. And he's gone, mate, I've not heard anything about this. I'm like, okay, well, this is your promotional team that had said this. So hung up with him, called someone else who I know very well and I know about, like, who's involved with the Commonwealth and the British. They basically said that's all a load of lies. Lewis Roberts has not been made mandatory for anything. There's been no contract signed, nothing. So I was like, okay, cool. So the fight's still on. The next day again, they've called up and said, the fight's probably not happening because Ash Lane's not vacating the English yet. And I'm like, mate, he is vacating the English. Like, I know Ash Lane very, very well. Yeah. I was like, he may not have vacated it right now, but he's going to vacate. So again, cut a long story short, Ash is saying, yes, he's vacating, but he's not vacating until obviously he fights, which for obvious reasons, it makes sense for him not to do that. The next day again, yeah, they've called up and they said, okay, so he's not vacating until the 22nd. So if anything happens between that point in time, the fight's, like, if he gets injured or whatever, the fight's off because we don't really want to fight for the Commonwealth silver. So right now we're still fighting for the Commonwealth silver and the English, but we're just waiting and seeing. Then apparently that the Commonwealth silver is not going to be on the line if the English is on the line, and vice versa. The English, that then they want to fight for the Commonwealth silver, which they didn't want to do at first. Yeah, so I'm just sitting there thinking, what are these guys playing at? And then they've called up again, yeah, like 2 days later, and they've said that if the Commonwealth silver, if the English isn't on the line and it's only for the Commonwealth silver, unfortunately, Jack might not get the same purse as we initially agreed on. Yeah, so I've turned around to Aaron and said, fuck these guys, pull me out of this fight, yeah, because they are making excuse after excuse after excuse. And I'm pretty confident that this fight is not going to happen. Yeah, and I said, I don't want no more part in it. That's 6 different reasons they've given us in the space of like not even 5 days. Yeah, I said, I had enough. So that was when he put up the super cute poster about that I've pulled out and whatnot. But if you're gonna put up a post like that, please make sure you put up the whole story, because you completely messed me around for like a week, mind fucked with me. Like, basically, it was like you was trying to entice me to pull it out of the fight, and then you got what you wanted, and then it was like a big problem apparently. So that's where he left. That's where we've left off with that. And then we wanted to fight. We wanted to move on, and we wanted to fight Ben Lilly in March. Yeah, so. He was, that fight was booked in. He accepted the fight, and then the very next day, turned the fight down and was like, oh, I've injured my hand. I don't want to fight Jack over 10 rounds, but I'll fight him over 6 rounds with an injured hand, yeah? So we was like, what is this guy talking about? Like, he's got the chance to fight for a Southern Area title, which he probably won't get anytime soon. And then he's accepted it. And then the next day he's turned it down and saying he's got an injured hand, so he doesn't want to fight due to an injury, but will fight me over 6 rounds. So we was like, what is this guy talking about? So we ended up not obviously taking that fight. And then it was like literally multiple different venues we got offered. We got offered like Harrow, York Hall, then it was somewhere else. I can't even remember where it was. Multiple different days. And I had to keep obviously informing people of different days because I needed to sell tickets. And then we finally got locked in with, I think it was like the 27th of April or something, York Hall. And we got offered Georgie Ellis. So that was after everything, that was like very like mind fucking for me, as you can imagine, the whole story. And then so I'm training and I'm kind of not feeling it at this point, but I was like, I'm going to do it because, you know, a lot of people have put a lot of effort in. And then we got offered a fight in America with a guy called, I think it was Wilver Hernandez. We got offered pretty good money. It was 6 rounds. The kid was good. He's 8-0. He's gone to the Junior Olympics. And for me, this was like, this brought everything back. Like, this lit a fire in me. I was like, oh my God, this is the American dream. Like, this was everything, yeah? So they offered it to us. And then the same day, we accepted. It was no hesitation. We took the fight, yeah? For about a week, over a week, they just went completely radio silent, yeah? And we're like, what is going on? Like, they offered it to us. We've accepted. Like, no questions asked. We asked for no more money. We asked for nothing. We just said, we want the fight. Didn't hear from them. So we basically said to them, look, we need an answer because we need to get our visas done. We need to book like, our flight, like everything, obviously, as you can imagine. And then, yeah, we gave them the ultimatum. They didn't get back to us. And, yeah, that was obviously, as you can imagine, you get offered something like that after everything that's happened. It was like truly, truly heartbreaking. And then obviously it was back to Georgie Ellis. And I just come into the gym. I was not feeling anything. Like, I didn't even really warm up when I was sparring. Then we got a spar and I was kind of so like lobster daisy with everything. I just didn't really care if I was getting hit. I was just taking unnecessary punches. Not that I give a bad showing, I give a good showing of myself, but it was just, you could tell, like, everything was just gone within me. And then,
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I just come back to the corner after we were finished 8 rounds. I just told Aaron, I said, mate, take my gloves off. I said, I want to go home. I think I'm done. And then that was basically that. And then, lo and behold, here we are now, sit here, retired.
To be honest, retirement sounds easier than the last 3 or 4 months. Yeah, I use the word chaotic, and I think that kind of still stands. Yeah, sit here retired, but like you said, this is the third time that you've said you're retired. What are the percentage chances that you step back in the ring?
So if you're talking about here in the UK, in my mind, my body, with like my family now and everything, I would say pretty much zero or very, very small, like maybe 1-2% if I got offered a very good fight for very, very good money. If you're talking abroad, especially America, pretty high, because it's a once in a lifetime thing that I'll never get the opportunity to do again. Money isn't, when it comes to going abroad, money isn't everything, but I do expect obviously to get a decent purse if I'm taking a risk and abroad, which brings us to this now. I've been offered a fight in Philadelphia against a guy, I think his name's Christian Carto, I think. Guy won the Golden Gloves. He's got a 66% knockout ratio, ranked 20th in the world. Got offered this fight after I've retired out of nowhere. They basically said, they gave me just under $5,000, but in dollars it was like $7,500. So as I just said, this guy's ranked 20th in the world. He's won the Golden Gloves, 66% knockout ratio. He's knocking out everyone. I should be looking at about 15, 20 grand for this fight. Easy. Imagine if I got offered a Sonny Edwards fight or something. I'm easily looking at that money. Maybe more, yeah. So this guy, I should be looking at the same. They said they'll send the contract on the very same day we accept the fight. So I went back to them and said, listen, the money is not great for what you're offering. I said, if you give me $10,000, which only works out, it works out as under $8,000, which is only like $2,000 more than they was willing to pay anyway. Like, I said, I'll take the fight. Again, this has been 3 days now. I've heard nothing back from them. So listen, Wilver Hernandez or Christian, whatever the fuck your last name is, if you want to fight, stop messing around. I've accepted both of these things, yeah? Mm. I will take the fight. Just pay me. Like, you're putting me in line with an absolute killer. Pay me the money. Like, it's not even, I'm not even asking for a lot. $7,000 to probably potentially go to Philadelphia and get sparked out isn't a lot of money. So just pay me it and the fight can happen.
So we're talking about Jack Hughes UK retirement. Yeah. Not retirement, UK retirement. Yeah, I guess we'll have to just wait and see kind of what happens on that front. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. If you're fighting a fighter who's considered the 20th best in his division in the world, you kind of won't pay him for it. So yeah, in terms of the UK retirement, do you sit here now with any regrets? I guess every fighter's going to have regrets. No one's career has gone absolutely perfectly, but is there anything that stands out to you that you go, I should have done this different, or I wish I'd have done this, or...
Again, it's not so much a regret, because all the things that happened to me in the past have obviously made me who I am. But I mean, finding people like, if I would have found people like my old coach Kieran Duffy and Azar a lot sooner, and if I would have met Liam, my nutritionist, a lot sooner, I do think the journey could have planned out very, very much different than it did. I think I would have been a lot happier. My morale would have been up. My motivation would have been up. I would have learned about nutrition, how to make weight properly, so on and so forth. Regret-wise, the thing is now, again, after I've met all these people, I feel like my boxing has elevated so much. You know, before I was pretty bad, I'm not going to lie, when I first turned over. Like, a lot of people used to make fun of me, but I got to a stage in my career where I was going to every gym around the UK, sparring world champions, European champions, British, Commonwealth, English area, and everyone was asking me to come back because I was giving a very, very good account of myself and I was giving them rounds. If you're giving rounds justified of a world champion, European champion, you've got to a very good stage in your career if they're asking you to come back. And I believe in my career, a lot of people would disagree that knew me from the start, but I believe that I kind of underachieved now. Essentially, in life, I pretty much overachieved. But with me in myself, knowing how good I got, I believe I underachieved. So that's a bit of a regret. But at the end of the day, I did set out, I achieved more than I ever thought I would. So I've smashed life in a sense. So yeah, so there is regrets kind of, but there isn't. But again, you know, the be all and end all now would be to fight abroad. But yeah, as you said, UK retired. We're done in the UK, but if we get abroad, we're back, maybe.
So I'll come down in a month or so and we'll talk about heading to Philadelphia. Yeah. Probably a stupid question to ask for those who know you and your career, but what was the highlight of the Punk Kid?
Well, the highlight would have been winning the Southern Area.
Two wicked fights. And I think, from a viewing perspective anyway, I guess it might feel the same for you. Does it make it better that you had the draw and then you got the victory after?
Oh, 100%, because it made it that little bit sweeter. Yeah. And even on top of that, this is the thing, yeah? Do you know, I was in this very room, which we're interviewing in, like a couple of weeks ago, and I was speaking to Mitchell Smith, who most people would know in the boxing world, and we were just talking about our careers and how they all played out, and he said to me, he's like, we both were looking at each other, and he's like, Jack, you should be very proud of everything you've accomplished. And I was like, oh, well, why, what makes you say that? He was like, mate, like, not in a disrespectful way, but obviously there's people that are way more talented than you in the sport. But everyone knows who you are. You go everywhere and everyone, like, you walk into a room and they go, oh, that's the Punk Kid, isn't it? And it's so true. Like, from what I've built in the small hall scene, I've got to be one of the most recognized faces in small hall boxing. And that's just all through the hard work I've put in, my character. Like, people literally fell in love with the Punk Kid. And it was just such a great thing. And when I look back, obviously I've got my highlight with the Southern Area title, but the proudest moment that for me was winning Southern Area Fighter of the Year. I'll never forget that. I was so, so proud. I was sitting on tables full with everyone, all the boxing promoters, the biggest, like some of the biggest names in the sport, and little old Jack Hughes, one Fighter of the Year, was sitting there and got awarded by the British Border Control. Like, things I'll never ever be able to replace. You know?
Well, them awards were yesterday. Pardon me, they were 2 days ago, I think, the awards for 2023. Yes, yeah. And the Fighter of the Year was Artur Beterbiev and Anthony Yard. You've got that award. Yeah. So
For the Southern Area, yeah. So there's two. There's just like the areas and then there's the actual one. But, I mean, you know, someone like me is never going to win that one. But I say that, but someone like me was never meant to win the Southern Area one. Like, if you look at who wins these awards, yeah, they are all still big names. They're all still people like Johnny Fisher, John Ryder, Billy Joe Saunders. Like, how the hell I ever got nominated and actually won it is beyond me, because it doesn't happen. And this is just like credit to myself, because I've become so popular within the boxing world. I think everyone finally thought, just sat down and thought, mate, just give this guy something for everything he's done. And yeah, lo and behold, I got it.
Yeah. Well, I remember we spoke at one of Dean's shows in Tolworth and you said boxing missed out on a small hall legend. So anyone who knows the small hall scene, I think, can justify the small hall legend tag. Just one more thing. Post-boxing career, whether you fight in America or not, are you going to be around the sport? Are you going to be involved in the sport in the training aspect? What kind of, where are you with boxing post-fighting?
To be honest, I don't really know. I don't.
Are you a big boxing fan now? Or would you still sit there and watch? Like, will you watch Dalton Smith on Saturday, for example?
Oh yeah, I'm a massive boxing fan. Always have been. I even follow the small hall scene now that I've got into it. Like, I'm always at shows and that York Hall is my second home. Literally, like, my family goes there all the time with me, everything. So yeah, I'm still a massive boxing fan, but to be involved in it now, I just don't know. I don't have that same love for it that I had when I was a kid.
Maybe a little bit of time out, and then it will, in a year or so, you might think I need to be involved in it, maybe.
Yeah, that's the thing. Absence makes the heart grow stronger, as they say. So you never know what the future holds. As I said, this is the third time I've retired, so you never know what the future is going to hold. But training, I dabbled in it before. I had my coaching license. I went in a couple corners as a second and stuff. It was good fun, don't get me wrong, but I don't really know if I really want to do that. And again, it takes a lot of time away from my family, which again is one of the reasons I've retired. I do like going to shows and doing write-ups. I was quite involved in doing that for a little bit just after lockdown happened. So maybe that could be something, but yeah, for me, I would just be happy with just going to shows. The promoters recognise me, they remember me, and say, "Oh, Jack, bring your family to ringside." Like, if that's all it is, that I would be so thrilled with that. And I think I deserve it. Like, the years I've given to the sport, the things I've done, the fights I've given, I think, you know, it's not much to ask just to go to a show and the promoter just say, "Here's a couple seats for ringside for you, for your fucking things to box in," like, whatever the word I'm looking for is. But yeah, that for me, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. So just one more thing, the kind of punk kid character that we know, so the hair, the nails, the kind of whole character around it, that doesn't die. That wasn't just the thing for boxing. That is you still. Yeah, so people see what shows, that is still Jack Hughes.
That is Jack Hughes, mate. Yeah, Jack Hughes is just a punk kid. The hair will, as long as I've got hair on my head, there will always be some funky style. As long as I've got a body to ink, there will always be ink. And as long as I've got nails to paint, there will always be painted. So, yeah, that's going to stay.
Wall Street Memes Casino. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time. No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.